Well, hello, everybody. Welcome into the Looking Both Ways podcast. I'm Pastor Tim. He's Pastor Rich. If you're joining us live, as always, please let us know. Put your name in the chat. We've got that pulled up here. Glad to be here with you, back with you. It's been a couple weeks since we've been able to have this, and I would have a feeling that it will become more sporadic during the summer, because as we all know, summer is like you took your calendar and then just threw it into, you kind of tore it into a bunch of pieces and then like throw it at a fast moving fan. That's typically what the summer does to our calendars. But it's a good shakeup. So this is a good week. We've got an opportunity, and so we're hopping on here. So thank you so much for those of you that are joining us. If you're wondering, as always, the Looking Both Ways podcast is a chance for us to look back at what was talked about the previous Sunday. Just in case you missed it, maybe you were serving in the kids ministry and you didn't get to hear the sermon, or you were off on vacation, or you were sick, or whatever it may be, or you just want to dive a little bit deeper into what was talked about on Sunday. And so we take a look back at what happened, because I got to tell you, for most people, if I asked you on Monday, what did Pastor Rich preach about or Pastor Carlos preach about, it's going to take a minute to get those gears turning. So we want to continue that discipleship throughout the week. But then it's also a chance for us to kind of get some idea of what's coming that following weekend, so that way we can get prepared as we want to prepare our hearts for worship as well. So, Pastor Rich, how are things going? How do you feel this weekend went? And what are kind of those big main takeaways or things that you wanted to dive deeper in from last Sunday?
Well, Pastor Tim, I'm doing well, thank you, despite my truck issues. And we all have our struggles in life, but we got to take care of that. Lord provided all those things. And then this week was the continuing with the subject of Joseph's life. And we've been looking at that. And, you know, it's funny, when we planned this, we tried to plan Genesis 39 as like 1 week, and now it's going to be three. And we could probably go four, but we're going to keep it at three, I think. So for that. So last week was just looking at the temptation and how Joseph dealt with temptation, because we need to understand temptation in some ways has a purpose. It's part of life. I mean, you have to understand that's part of it. It was always interesting to see how people respond when you start talking about issues like temptation and trial, which we'll talk about this week. And I separated them out intentionally. And so that's what we talked about this week. And like I said before, nobody gets up as a follower of Jesus and says, "Hey, how am I going to sin against God today?" We just, that's just not how.
Hopefully not.
We don't get up that way. But we pretty much assume we're gonna. And because of that, we kind of have a mindset about these things that can sometimes be a hindrance to pursuing, fighting it, or dealing with it. And so one of the things I just kind of talked about right up front is that, you know, Joseph is, the Lord's with Joseph. He's being blessed everywhere he can possibly be blessed in any situation, even though he's a slave, because God's with him. And yet he's still having to sit here and deal with temptation. So my first point was nobody can think they can't succumb to temptation, where you're. And then what people like to do, and you know this, Tim, is like they like to take the big sins, and it's like, okay, well, I'm not tempted by that. And that's not really where the devil works. It's the devil works in mostly in the smaller stuff, the thing that you don't think about. And to say that you're past the issue that Joseph was dealing with Potiphar's wife is to dismiss the point that you can get, you know, it doesn't have to be that. It can be something else. And I talked about that a lot. You know, we have to all be careful about our temptations come in many forms, and they come from, and I talked a lot about this, our sin nature. Our bigger enemy is sin nature. Satan uses our sin nature, what we were before and the things that we wrestle with, and with this paradox we see in Scripture constantly of we're new creations, but we got to deal with our old self. The Holy Spirit's in us, but yet here we are, and we still struggle with these things. And that's just part of maturing and growing. And that's what we'll talk about this week when we talk about trials. And so temptations, I would argue, and I did argue, that don't come from God. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. And we reference to James 1:13, where he says, do not say that I am being tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted by evil. Some people struggle with that. I'm like, well, I mean, that doesn't mean that God doesn't can't use the temptations, but God is not the one tempting you. When Jesus was in the desert, he was being tempted by the devil. He wasn't being tempted by his father. And so it's important to understand that God does not want you to sin to become more like Jesus. That's kind of not the point. And so we have to think about it that way. And our enemies want us to fail. And our sin nature wants us to take control. And what we learn about the Christian life is that Christian life is all about Jesus taking control. And the sin nature ourselves don't want that to happen. So we kind of talk through that and how should we resist it? Or what we're supposed to get out of it, run away and run to God. One thing I didn't really get to, and I want to kind of talk about a little bit just for a second. Sometimes God getting us through a temptation, maybe not necessarily the way out, is just to trust him and persevere through it. Sometimes you may feel like there isn't a way out, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to sin. So, but God provides a means for you to be able to stand up and persevere through it. In that sense, I mean, if you're at a party, just to take a simple example, and everybody's drinking to debauchery, and you feel like you can't leave because you got to drive people home, or you want to drive people home, or you're that, you know, and you feel tempted by that, doesn't mean you can't stand up to it while you're there. So there's ways in which God does it besides just giving you a door out. Sometimes he just gives you the strength to deal with it by trusting in him through that temptation. So it's important to do that. And then when we deal with it, we try and deal with those things immediately. As I said last week, a lot of us, when it comes to temptations and succumbing to them, a lot of reasons we succumb to it is because we really don't want to get rid of it. I mean, let's just be honest. We all have them. We all have those things. Sin is meant to feel good, taste good, look good. That's what the serpent was able to do with Eve. She made the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He made it sound like God was depriving them of something that was absolutely beneficial to their very existence, even though they had access to everything else in that entire garden. Right. And so that's what he still does that. And the reason the Satan can still do that is because it works. It still works. Right. And so, and I never really closed with, and I really was watching the crowd as I got to the questions. Like, how do you you got to ask yourself some questions. And some of the ones are simple. Is it going to glorify God? Yes or no? Most sin does not glorify God. We know that one. Is it going to advance his kingdom? Most sin does not glorify or advance his kingdom, right? Will it help me become more like Jesus? Sinning more does not make us more like Jesus. Will it build up other people? You know, those four seem to be pretty obvious things when it comes to those things. But then the questions that really got people's attention is, how did I get here? How did I get myself in this situation? And then the last one is, what am I looking for that I keep looking for this or am looking for this? And those cause us to have to look introspectively into those things. And Joseph obviously has to wrestle with these. We have to remember that Joseph was a young man. I mean, he's 17, 18 years old. I mean, come on. We were all 17, 18 years old. Let's just be honest about, and those things. So, and Paul's talked about it in Romans 7 when he talks about when he doesn't want to do what he wants to do, and what he does want to do, he doesn't want to do. And then he talks about the spirit of the of God in his heart and in his mind, but it's not being lived out in his hands and in his feet. And that's the picture of the Christian life that we struggle with as we seek to be more and more like Jesus every day. And so that's what we talked about last week. And I didn't mean to go that long, but it's just, I think it's a really important subject that we don't like to talk about too much in church life. And, we just kind of approach it as it comes. And then this week I'll talk about trials. What's the purpose of trials? What Jesus went through, says he was tempted in all things, but it was a trial. He had to go through that. So because he had a role and he had things he had to do in order to be able to be our priest. And those are theological things that were part of that. But for us, God puts us through trials to make us more like Jesus. And that's just the simplest way to look at it. And we'll talk about those things. And they're part of a larger picture that God has for us and what he wants us to be a part of. God doesn't need our permission to put us through trials. Mm-hmm. Because God's more interested in us becoming more like his son than he is how we feel about going through a trial. And so we'll talk about that this week as well.
And you bring something interesting up, you know, like when you talk about trials, I think all of us would, if I said, hey, if you're going through a hard time, you know, what makes it easier to bear it and get through that hard time? And most people would probably say being able to go through it with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And then it gets to temptation. And if I were to ask, okay, well, what is the best way to kind of get through temptation? I think biblically, walking through that with somebody would be the answer. But for some reason, you know, there seems to be a hesitance in Christianity today, and maybe not across the globe, but I know definitely in the American church, mm-hmm. where we have not gotten to the point where we have normalized talking about what we're struggling with sin-wise, right? You know, what our temptations are, and bringing people into that fold so that way it doesn't turn into sin. For some reason, when it comes to trials, we're all for, you know, going through that with someone and bringing people into the fold. But then when it comes to temptation, there's this resistance of bringing people into the fold, which, you know, should, I mean, that's natural. I think Satan wants us to keep our temptations and sins in the dark, because we're more easily defeated on our own. But what do you think, you know, the value of normalizing, just talking about temptation is? What's the value there of kind of normalizing that? But then also what would you say is really keeping the church from normalizing that, that kind of way of really leveraging in a sense, a way of escape that Jesus provided in the church?
Yeah, I think, you kind of answered the one about doing it. This is why we have church. This is why we have community. And we live in a world today where community is such a nebulous term, and some people just at that point will be, and to go back to the original question, it's kind of a two answering both together. We have a trust problem, I think, when it comes to trials, we'll share. When it comes to temptations, we have a trust problem. And we don't trust other people around us. And I talked about this a little bit Sunday. It's like, you know, some people may not struggle with what Joseph was struggling with fornication, adultery, all that stuff. But that thing between our teeth called our tongue can cause a lot of damage. And James talks about that. And one of the ways it does damage is because we hear something and we feel like there's just this propensity to want to. And so people don't want to vent, share. They don't want to share it because they don't trust the person to keep it to themselves. That's number one. Number two, I think we have this exterior that we feel like we need to keep up front with other people. You know, the super Christian, super whatever, sometimes can get in the way. Because we're free to say, hey, we all make mistakes, or we all have our struggles. We're good with that statement. But to get into specifics is to go in a realm that most of us just aren't comfortable with, which is unfortunate. But again, that's usually because you're convicted about what you're doing anyway, and you're not stopping it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you bring up a good point with trust, you know, and unfortunately, I think the reason why trust has been lost is, unfortunately, because of how sin has been handled by a lot of churches, mm-hmm. where, you know, certain sins are shameful, whereas certain sins, like, we'll help you with that. I think about this a lot when we think of common temptations. You know, you brought up alcohol earlier. If somebody walked into our church and they said, man, I really struggle with alcohol, I want help, you would imagine that there's a lot of resources and people that are willing to help that person stop drinking or drink less or whatever it may be. But then with other sins, if somebody walked in and said, man, I really struggle with, you know, temptation when it comes to pornography, or I really struggle, you know, X, Y, Z, there's this category of sin where there's almost an unwillingness to be helpful. And in a sense, it's more shameful. So, you know, it's kind of a twofold thing of like, you know, it's like the remember the Titans quote, you got to give respect to get it. You know, you got to. If you want people to trust you, you have to show them that you're trustworthy, you know? Yeah. And so as a church, you know, even just for our church, you know, we can't fix, every church, but we have ours. Right. And so, you know, I think that that changes how we approach other people that are struggling, that if we want to build an environment in our church of trust where people feel like they can open up about their temptations and walk through those, we got to kind of show that that's there, right? And that starts with each individual. If, yeah. Number one, being transparent about what you're, you know, is stepping out and trusting people, but at the same time, also making sure that there are people in the church that know you are trustworthy, right? And showing that through action, not just words.
And quite frankly, Tim, I think another aspect of that is a lot of people don't want the pressure. They feel like that's a pressure that they don't want to deal with, mm-hmm. As well. It's an interesting thing how that kind of works. People just don't want to, the pressure of holding people accountable or the pressure of being accountable, either way, is just, you know, if I just don't want to deal with that kind of thing. Again, sin weaves its web in very convoluted ways. And at that point, you know, somebody struggles with, anger, and it puts a red flag on them. Oh, that person struggles with anger. And it's like, well, then they can't, until they get their anger issues figured out, well, then they can't be used. And then we run into the whole caveat of that, right?
Knowing, right.
Of vetting people and vetting people to serve God. And God knows all these things. God knows you got an anger management issue. God knows if you have a self-control issue. God knows if you have a lordship issue. He knows if you have a pornography issue. He knows if you have a lust issue. So yeah. The only person we're hiding from at the end of the day, when it comes to all that stuff, as you know, we can is God. Mm-hmm. As ourselves. I'm sorry. You know, we're trying to hide. God knows we're just fooling ourselves with a lot of those things. But, you know, at that point. And so, I mean, temptation's just there. And I try to cover the rounds on all that. Again, we think about the big stuff, and we don't think enough about the issues that relate to the smaller stuff or the more things that just kind of deal with that as well.
Yeah. Well, good word. Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. And again, like, prepare your heart before you come. Because I think especially when you talk about temptation, when you talk about trials, it's easy to hear that sermon and then go, oh man, I hope so-and-so is paying attention. You know, like I hope this guy's paying attention to this. I know a list of people that need to hear what you got to say, Pastor. Yeah. We all need to hear it. So prepare your heart.
About 10:15, you know, before I even made an altar call, people, and you were up there because I called you up early, and noticed is like, people, I said, you know, this is a time when you can come to the altar. That's all. That's basically what I said. And all of a sudden people start standing up and the whole altar was mm-hmm. up front. So yeah, yep. Praise God yep. for people hearing and addressing it. Because ultimately that's who you have to address it with. Right. And to do that, and that's what I, one of the things I said, you got to be redemptive about it. And you got God has given us a way to do. You confess it, repent, confess, move on. Yeah. We don't move on well. We do it with other people. We like to pull up people's past, and then people like to remember their past to keep them from being fully what God wants them to be. And it's just mm-hmm. it's just a tug of war with your flesh that you need to let that go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again, Pastor Rich, and thank you for all those that are listening, whether you're listening now or listening later, watching the video or listening to the audio. We appreciate it, and we hope that this is valuable to you, because as always, the growth never stops. You can't, your whole spiritual life cannot just be Sundays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So we hope that we don't just, that's not lip service for us as a church. We hope and we strive to really provide that, that if that's the case, then let's make sure that we're offering that. So pray that this is valuable to you and your family. Pray that you are having a wonderful week. We hope to see a lot of you this evening for our midweek services and obviously this weekend as we continue to head toward the summer.
And which I'm going to talk more about this, Tim. I've been going to sermon-based Wednesday night Bible studies from the previous mm-hmm. week, and it's gone over really well. It's been some really, really good discussions as people get to bounce back from what they yeah. heard. And so that's been really, I encourage people. I mean, that's been really good.
Yeah, well, I think it's always good to be in and out instead of Cheesecake Factory. You know, like we just went to Cheesecake Factory last night, and there's I'm a visual person. There's no pictures in their menu. There's a lot of words and a lot of stuff, and I'm like, it's what you call paralysis by analysis. There's just so much that you just don't want to make the decision, right? Whereas when you go to In-N-Out, you know what you're going to get: fries, burger, milkshake. Like, what? How many patties is really the hardest decision you have to make? And so I think it's good. I think, you know, oftentimes you might have six different Bible studies in six different areas of study going on at the same time. And not saying that that's bad, but how cool would it be to be able to really just hone in and focus on one thing and look at it from multiple vantage points? I think that's where real learning takes place.
And we're great. I even had Jonathan teach for me a couple weeks ago. I just said, take, and you preached. I didn't even do the sermon. He took whatever notes he took of your sermon, and he used that for the Bible study for the week. So, I mean, it's a really good tool to reinforce, like you said, and to walk through this stuff together and to put in an atmosphere where people can interact with what they're hearing instead of just hearing it and saying, or just, you know, well, what about this?
Right. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you have a wonderful week. Hope to see you all tonight and this weekend. As always, I am Pastor Tim. He's Pastor Rich. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast. And we hope that you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you later.